to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to talk about a message I've entitled, The Two Ways of Eternity. The Two Ways of Eternity. As Pastor Donald mentioned a second ago, we did outreach in downtown or Old Town Louisville, whichever you like to call it. And as we were doing it, I had my oldest son, Kai, with me. And we were going from home to home, having different discussions with different people. And we came across one lady who didn't have a church home. And come to find it, she believed that every path of every religion all led to heaven. Now, if you're not familiar with this idea, it is called universalism, where every religion, no matter what you believe, as long as you believe it, gets you to heaven. This is called universalism. To which we told her, you know, the least loving thing I can do is not tell you that all religions contradict one another in some way. Islam and Christianity do not align. Christianity believes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for sin, rose victoriously from the grave, and will stand judging us in eternity to see if we've received his grace and forgiveness or rejected it altogether. Islam, on the other hand, is about works. It's about trying to strive, and maybe Allah will grant you paradise and eternity with him. Those are radically different ideas. And I said, though we should, yes, be kind and respectful to one another, we should not say that they are the same or will bring us to the same place. If we study different religions, they all teach different things. Though many of them say we should be nice to one another, our niceness does not translate into eternity with God. They're vastly different. Now, as you probably assume, she did not receive Jesus on the spot. But I told her, Christ wants us to seek and to find him, to knock, and the door will be opened. Christ is working in different ways and works at different times in different people's lives. And I pray that that woman that my oldest son Kai and I talked to thinks about who Jesus is. I leave it up to the work of the Holy Spirit who works on her heart to bring her to salvation. Now, as I said a second ago, we're talking about the two ways of eternity. And this is what Jesus discusses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Let's go to the text of Scripture. Give me one second. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And for those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Let's pray. Lord, just as we sang a second ago, you love us. And your word says it is not your desire that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Lord, I pray that in this room and in this moment, your Holy Spirit would guide and lead our hearts to truth. And as your word says, the truth will set us free. Free from sin, free from condemnation, free from an eternity destined for a place called hell. God, set us free today by the power of your word, empowered by your spirit. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus here is concluding his words in the Sermon on the Mount. He is concluding what has been a time of preaching. People have gathered from all around to hear the words of Jesus. They wanted to hear his teaching. They wanted to see his miracles. And he sat them down on a hillside, and he's given them a message on various topics. And now he is pointing them to the fact that eternity can be in two different places. Some will go the way that is narrow. Few will find it. And that way is hard. While others will go, the many will go to the way that is wide. And that way leads to destruction. Many will find this way. So the first thing I want us to see is that there are only two ways. The first thing, the first point, is that there's only two ways. The Bible's very clear on this. Our text here today says it's narrow or it's wide. There's two ways. Either you take the narrow way or the wide way. Again, the narrow way is hard, but it leads to life, and few will find it. The way to destruction is easy, and many enter by it. And of course, we know the Bible's talking about heaven and hell. Heaven and the path to get there is a hard life. Why? Well, this is due to the fighting against temptation. The world constantly is calling us and trying to pull us in to say yes to everything and never to say no to any desire or temptation we have, to embrace it all. And the road to heaven is to say no to these lesser things and yes to the upward calling in Christ to follow his way. And most people, they're going to look at us and say, you're weird. Why are you so lame? Why don't you want to have a good time? Meanwhile, the way to hell is described as the easy life. If you've ever got on a raft or like a tube and floated down a river, that's this idea. It's going the way of the current of the culture. It's sitting and just saying, okay, world, take me wherever you want. I'm just going to ease on down and follow the way of culture. The way to hell is to go this direction. And this is easy, but it leads to destruction. It destroys us. As I tell our students, we were not made for sin, we were made for him. The blueprint is given in the book of Genesis. You, all of you, were made in the image of God to love what he loves and to live like him. But when we rebel against a good, holy God, we destroy ourselves. This world will not satisfy, and all the pleasures of the world are going to fade along with those things. There are only two ways. There's no middle ground. So maybe your background is that you grew up in the Catholic Church or you have Catholic friends. There's no purgatory. There is no middle ground. The Catholic Church may teach this, but the Bible does not. The Bible and Jesus' words say there's two ways. Either the way that enters into eternal life or the way that enters into eternal destruction. There are only these two. And I often get chances to ask people this question. If I'm at the grocery store, if I'm just out and about, I like to ask this question. Hey, I'm a Christian. I love to ask people how I can pray for them. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Awesome. Hey, have you ever considered this? I said, I'm not trying to just quiz you and tell you you're wrong. I'm curious what you think. What do you think it takes to get to heaven? What do you think the most common answer I receive is? Just be a good person, right? That is the natural answer that rises up in us. Is I got to be good, and I got to do more good than I do bad. But as you've heard me say many times before, we have an account on our life, just like we have an account online. We have certain accounts, and you look at your account. On our account, we still have sin. You can have as many good works as you want to have, but guess what? Over here, you still have to deal with your sin, and you have no way to remove it. And that's where Christ comes in. So, the way to heaven There is no way of being a good enough person. And even if there was, how would you know? How would you know if you're a good enough person? The Bible says we're not naturally good people. So let me encourage you today. If you're getting your theology from something you hear on the radio and not from God's Word, let's get back to God's Word and what God's Word says about the two ways of eternity. I heard a song recently. I won't sing the song. I'll save you that. But it's a song by the artist Luke Bryan, where he says, I believe most people are good. It's not an idea that the Bible says is true. We're born with a sin nature. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say, I got no sin, that means you've already sinned, and the truth is not in you. Galatians 5:17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want. There is a war not only going on around you, but there's a war going on inside of you against your flesh and your spirit. If you're a believer, there's this constant battle for you to say yes to the Lord and no to the ways of the world. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, guess what? I can't. I can't understand my own heart sometimes. I do the things I don't want to do. And the very thing I hate, I keep doing. I keep saying. Or I keep struggling with. And this is why it's so good that God gives us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. For every person that believes, it's not you on your own saying, yep, I said yes to Jesus. Now let's try to do the best I can by my own efforts. No, it's you relying and leaning on the Spirit to then empower you to obey Jesus. You don't do it alone. Another question I've asked people before is this. This one's a tough one. Do you believe in hell? Do you believe in hell? I'm just curious. And maybe for you today, like, do you believe in the idea of hell? And I've talked to people that have grown up in church that know the Bible and say, well, you know, those parts of the Bible, yeah, those are not as inspired as others. Some people believe that. But the idea of hell is a reality and is communicated by God in His Word. Now, some people, when I've asked them that question out and about, they said, oh, hell, no. Of course not. That wouldn't be fair. And here's where I want to throw a question out at us today. Would it be fair for those who have killed your family members, it's hypothetical, who have taken advantage of the vulnerable, which is a reality, and have tortured the least of these? Because people have done this. And we don't have to just say, well, Hitler and Stalin and pick all those guys. I get that. But anyone and everyone else, would it be fair for them to go into heaven based on the idea that I don't believe hell is real? Would that be fair? Because we can't simply just say, man, based on my experience, I don't feel like hell is a reality. But we have to see things from all sides. We can't just see them through our Western lens. What feels good, what sounds good, what may not get me in trouble, or what may make things peaceable with my friends and coworkers. Now, I'm not saying to ruffle anyone's feathers for the sake of doing it, but I am saying we ought to always speak the truth, but do it in love. We ought to always speak the truth, and God is much better than us. He provides a better way. He provides a much better way. Jesus, as we've said before, comes down from heaven to earth, suffers like you, dies in your place on the cross for your sins, and He conquers sin and death. He rises victoriously. He provides a better way. Verse 14, look back there, Matthew 7. Jesus says, the way or the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. God's way is to provide life through Jesus. Not your way. It's not all on you. It's through the life of Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the access point. Romans 16, 23. For the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned, right? And we all have a life that leads to death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is life, and Christ wants you to have that life. John 5, 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but he's passed from death to life. So there's a way to death and a way to life, and the way can be found in Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons we take the Lord's Supper this morning is to remember what Christ did at the cross, that he paid for our sins, that his body was broken and his blood was shed to cover our sins. And we remember what Christ has done this morning, and we celebrate the goodness of him. And today, we would love for everybody in here to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. But today, if you've never received Jesus, at the end of our service, I'm going to give us a chance to respond to the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus and all he's done for us. You can give your life and receive his life in your place. Second thing I want us to see this morning is this. There's two ways, and both have a pull on us. There's two ways, and both pull us. Look back here at verses 13 and 14. You'll see again that the way is easy. That leads to destruction. And then in verse 14, you'll see that the way is hard. That leads to life. The phrase there, that leads, is an important phrase. If you were to study that phrase, it means to be carried away or to be brought towards, like a tractor beam. The way of the kingdom of God, if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit, kind of like a bungee cord. A bungee cord can only go so far, but the Holy Spirit, like a bungee cord, will pull you back into Christ. You may turn this way, away from Christ, and walk a certain way of life, but the Holy Spirit, acting like that bungee cord, pulls you back to him. So one of the ways you know if you're in Jesus is if you have conviction of sin. If you're a Christian, it's not that you don't sin anymore. Yes, you want to sin less, and you should be growing in those areas. It's not that you don't sin. It's that when you sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you and shows you his way is better. And he has a pull on us. The way of the kingdom of God has a pull on us. And then there's another way that has a pull on us. If today you're here and someone invited you to come to church, or you just happen to drive by and say, hey, I think church on a Sunday morning is a good idea, I want you to hear this. If you are not in Christ, or maybe you've been in church for a long time and you're not in Christ, you have no conviction of sin. There's another way that has a pull on you. That's the way of the kingdom of darkness. It is a way that leads you in that direction. You don't want to give up sinning because you're comfortable right here. This is what you know. You're content. You don't have conviction. And you feel like doing all this other stuff, praying and going to church and singing songs and saying no to sin, that's all lame and a waste of time. And if that's you today, and maybe you think you're in Christ, but you feel this way, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to give your life to Jesus. If you have no conviction of sin, you're content where you're at, and you don't want to live for him, it is likely, I would say it's definite that you're not in Christ. But Christ doesn't leave you there. He wishes you to repent. He wishes you to confess. This is two ways that both have a pull on us. Now, because we've been given the Holy Spirit, does that mean this way is easy to live as a Christian? No. It's hard. I mean, you see what and how the Christian life is difficult. John 15, 18 through 19 says, if the world hates you, that's one of the ways it's hard. The world's not going to like you. They're not going to like how you live. Jesus says, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love you as its own, but because you have not, you're not of the world, but because I chose you out of it, therefore the world hates you. It's one way. They're not going to like your lifestyle. They're not going to like how you're living. And they're going to think, you're so condemning. You think Jesus is the only way? Again, truth and love. I say that because I know Jesus is the only way. I'm convicted of it, and I want you to know it's not condemning, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to Christ. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is another way. It's a daily battle for the Christian. We're constantly having to fight off the ways of the world, to not laugh at the crude jokes that everybody else is laughing at, to not join in with things that would dishonor God, and putting sin to death. Colossians 3:1 says, since there you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This process is hard. Setting your mind towards the things of God, walking in obedience to Him, is a process called sanctification. The Christian life does not end once you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's not the finish line. The Christian life begins when you say yes to Jesus. That's the starting line. And in pursuing Christ, the process of sanctification is that we might grow more and more like Jesus day by day, saying no to sin, yes to Him, being conformed into the image of Jesus, to set our mind on Him. And thank God we've been given the Holy Spirit. I could not do it on my own. So the Christian life is hard. The way to hell is easy. Revelation 21:8 says, but for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, all their portion will be to burn in the lake of fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And this is not an easy text to talk about. But the way of hell is characterized by those who are fearful, who live their life with fear constantly, never giving that to God, never saying, God, make me bold, make me courageous. It's a way of faithlessness, having no trust in God, and instead trusting self. I can do this. If I just white-knuckle my life and try to work my way, I can do it on my own. I can do it my way, as a song once said. There are those who are detestable, foul, gross. The way of living does not honor God. There's those who are murderers, and I would venture to say probably none of us in here would be categorized as that. But listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, if you have hated a man in your heart, you have also committed that sin. If you have hated someone to the point where you wish they didn't exist, you have had a hatred that is like murder. You have had that kind of heart. I know at times I have. And then you have those who are sexually immoral. And you may say, well, hey, I've done everything right. I've never been in certain situations which would cause me to be considered being sexually immoral. But Jesus looks at the heart. He says, when you look at somebody else with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. We would be categorized as all these things, so thank God it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of your own works, but it's a gift of God. It's a gift. All these character traits are things we naturally in our flesh drift towards. And then there's 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So don't hold on to this stuff. It's not wrong to have the stuff. You can have a nice car and a nice house, but how much are you holding on to it? How much of your identity is wrapped up in your stuff, your status, who you are in this life? Because it's going to fade. Your position at work is going to fade. Who you are and the things you've accomplished, that will fade. But living a life for Christ is one that will not. It will go with us into eternity. Again, like I said, there are two ways and they both have a pull on us. And if we live the way of the kingdom of heaven, we'll be pulled by the Holy Spirit towards the Lord. And if we live the way of hell, the kingdom of darkness will have a pull on us. You know, when I was preparing this message, I thought of an example. As I've discussed, being pulled by different ways, by the way of hell and the way of heaven, I thought of magnets. As you know, magnets have a north pole and a south pole, right? And the opposites attract one another. Spiritually speaking, the kingdom of God will draw you in, as well as the kingdom of darkness. They work like magnets. And just like magnets, we are both strengthened and depleted, just like them. And this is why those who walk close to Jesus want to be with Jesus and his people. And those who walk apart from Jesus don't want to be with Jesus and his people, or they have ulterior motives to being with believers. We are just like those that have a pull on us. So today, what do we do with this? What do we do with this message? Well, one point of application is to think about this. Examining your desires and your appetites, I want you to think about this. One thing you can ask is, what do I do when no one else is around? What do you find yourself doing when no one else is around? As you think about your appetites and your desires, if no one else is around, what do I find myself doing? What do I find myself participating in? If someone were here, would they be honored by the things I participated in, the things I said? A second way to examine yourself is through this question. Is what typically brings you happiness? What typically brings you happiness? I mean, just like you, I like really good food and a good vacation, and those are not wrong things. But what I'm asking is what is the consistent pattern of your life that you are living for? What are you trying to seek happiness from? Third is this: does living for Jesus feel more like an opportunity or an obstacle for joy? Is living for Jesus something you want to do, or it's like, oh man, I'm tired of this. I just want to stay in my bed. I just want to go fishing. I just want to fill in the blank with any other thing, right? What does living for Jesus feel like? Is it an opportunity or an obstacle? And I would challenge you today at lunch, ask these questions to your family, or ask these questions to your friends as you have lunch today. So where are you today? There's two ways. Which are you living for? We're going to enter into a time of response. And I want to tell you, before you get out your phone to check the time, before you think this is for somebody else, this is not a time to check out. If you're a believer in here, this is actually an opportunity for you to pray. This is an opportunity for you to pray that in this room the Holy Spirit would do a work. Would do a work in your life, would do a work in the lives of those who have joined us, whether it's here or online. Pray. Eternity is forever. And if you're bringing your good works before God, without his grace, without his life, without his forgiveness, let me tell you something. It will burn up. It will come to nothing. Your good works are tainted by sin. And all of us are tainted in some way by sin. And that will not unlock the gate that gets you into heaven. Christ is the one who has the keys to life and death. Only through Christ can you enter the narrow way, the way that few will find and the way that's hard, the way that no one desires. It's through Jesus. And you may be here today and you're like, but Matt, I have all these questions about things that happened in the Old Testament. I have questions about the miracles. How do I make sense of these things? Let me tell you today to start with Jesus. In Jesus, the truth will be given to you, and the truth will set you free. Christ wants to set you free today. And today, if you have never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Right now, you have the chance to say yes to Jesus, that he did live that perfect life. He did die on that cross to pay for your sins. He did rise victoriously from the grave for you. So that standing in judgment, all would be put on the shoulders of Christ. He would own your sin. You would walk in that eternal relationship and forever, forever be secured in him and in heaven. So don't miss this. Don't miss this chance today. If you're watching online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. And if you're here today, you can respond by coming up front. We'll have ministers towards the front that would love to pray with you. And we have others that would love to talk to you about having a personal walk with Jesus. The altar's open today. Would you come as the Lord leads? Jesus, we love you, and we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the way you shower your grace on us. Again, it's not our good works. It's not how awesome of a person we are, the accolades we have that give us some symbol of status in heaven. But it's by you. And your word reminds us that it was on that cross you took our sin. God, today as we think about all you've done on the cross, God, let us examine our life and bring before you who we really are, because you already know who we are. Lord, would you work in this time? Cause us to surrender to your name. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name.
Like a hurt.